goblins and wallow alone. Come at the grand light, making a sound. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
Good evening and welcome to the Discordia 1919 podcast. It is March 8th, 2012. My name is Joe.
My name is Mondo.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Stephen King as usual tonight. And other stuff. Maybe some Walking Dead. We talk about Walking Dead on the show a little too. Horror in general is okay with us.
Spooky stuff and gory, bloody, deady stuff.
That's right. So, you can find everything I blog about, and you can find this podcast at discordia19.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes. There's links up there for everything that I do, including Twitter and Facebook feeds. So let's start off with Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Have you caught up?
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely caught up on Walking Dead. How about you? Are you caught up?
I am. I'm caught up, and I was good this week. I was getting aggravated through most of the episode again. You know, the show's been aggravating me a little lately.
But, I hear that.
But you know, a lot of arguing and Glenn being annoying, and I was like, by halfway through, I was like, Glenn, that's enough. What are they supposed to do? You know. So the story is like they have this prisoner that they're afraid is going to go and find his buddies and then, you know, kill them all and rape their girls. Which is what happens. And I guess this is what happens in post-apocalyptic worlds is people go crazy, kill each other, and rape the women.
Right, because, you know, we're not worried. We're not too worried about the zombies as long as we can get, like, you know, some nookie.
That's right. So Glenn doesn't want to kill the guy. They all want to kill the guy. And in the end, they don't kill the guy. And I was like, oh, I can't believe they didn't kill him. Glenn will be happy, but Glenn was definitely not happy by the end of this
Dale.
Episode. I'm sorry,
Dale.
Did I keep calling him Glenn?
Yes.
Glenn is the Asian guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Dale. What I was implying was Dale was annoying me the whole episode with his blathering.
Because Glenn's been getting on my nerves, too. So at first I thought you were talking about Glenn. Because Glenn's being all wishy-washy, but
he is too.
He's not nearly as annoying as Dale.
Yeah, now Glenn's been weirded out that he doesn't know if he should love the chick. I don't remember her name.
Right.
He doesn't want to get involved. The world is coming to an end. All that stuff. So.
Right, and mostly because he can't think straight.
Yeah.
You know, so he'd rather freeze up and get eaten by a zombie than get eaten by a zombie by fighting a zombie because, like, you know, he's too busy thinking about girls.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot less annoying than Dale.
Dale's been aggravating. So Dale aggravated me over and over, and then they didn't kill the guy, and then I was like, oh, fucking Dale wins out in the end. And then Dale obviously does not win out in the end.
No.
Poor Dale.
And Shane is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Shane is absolutely nuts.
But, I mean, I don't know. Spoiler alert here?
Yeah. We'll say spoiler now because we'll talk about some of the things that happened and some of the spoilers that I found out about for the rest of the season.
Right.
So, so Dale starts fighting with a zombie, right? And luckily for Dale, the zombie did not bite him.
Did not bite him.
No, I was like, all right, it didn't bite him. Unfortunately for Dale, it ripped open apart his innards with its bare hands while they were struggling.
It gutted him like viciously. I mean, not even just like tore open his like belly and like played with it or something. I mean, he like. Oh, it was like it ran a good industrial strength weed whacker through Dale's gut.
Poor bastard.
Yep.
Yeah. He couldn't even speak in the end, and they had to kill him. They were like, you know, saw he's suffering, so
So they put him down. And he didn't look too happy about that, but I mean, I suppose like, you know, I mean, he couldn't talk, so he couldn't say like, yeah, please kill me, don't let me live like this. But like, you know, it's like I'd really like to know what was going through his mind before the bullet did.
It's true, and their only doctor said he couldn't do anything for him. So I don't know. You know, what are you going to give him pills and make him painlessly go away, but he wasn't, it was not painless. He was suffering.
Right.
So he's dead.
And now the worst part is that the zombie that that gutted him was a stuck in the mud zombie.
Yes,
he Carl was. Had found.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and Carl freed the zombie, basically.
He did.
By harassing it, by teasing the stuck-in-the-mud zombie. The stuck-in-the-mud zombie was no longer stuck in the mud. Instead of going back, and he dropped the gun.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a gun he was tooling around with. So instead of, like, finishing the zombie off like he should have, he drops the gun, he runs away. Doesn't tell anybody that there's a zombie within walking distance of the camp. So when he recognized that that was the zombie that had done Dale in, he was very upset.
He was. He was. He freaked out a bit.
Yep.
So the and the other rumor that AMC accidentally released some information about the future DVD sales, right? So it was some kind of ad for, buy the DVD set of season two. And here's the spoiler part. It said, and you'll get to see Shane's final episode. Big spoiler. That was like big mistake on their part.
Yeah, well, it was final episode.
Yeah.
That means that Shane is going to go bye-bye.
Finally.
Yeah. Shane. But, you know, Shane is crazy.
He is. But he's entertaining.
He is entertaining.
You know, yeah. And I mean, there's a certain dynamic in the group that once that's gone, you know, they'll have to find something else. It's a world full of zombies and horrible stuff, so I'm sure they'll find something to make storylines about. But yeah, he's been, you know, half of every episode is confrontations with him and him fighting with our friendly sheriff. And I don't know. I think I'm happy he's going, but we'll have to see how it comes out afterwards.
Yeah, I'm hoping it goes down like it did in the graphic novel. I don't know if you know how it went down in the graphic novel.
I think I've heard, but the he's lasted so much longer than he did in the graphic novel that I don't quite remember.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been around like far, far too long. He never should have made it to Herschel's farm.
Right.
But should we say on the show?
Yeah, we could say. It's a comic book. It's a graphic novel. It's out there.
Man, Carl capped him in the head. The kid. Because, Shane, as we know, Shane is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Shane is crazy. And he was, he was going to kill Rick because he wants Laurie and Carl all to himself.
Right.
And so he was going to kill Rick. And, like, you know, Carl capped him in the head.
It'd be cool if they actually did that.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. That would be pretty intense and pretty awesome.
Especially since Carl can't even cap a zombie.
Poor Carl. Walking around with a cowboy hat on now, a sheriff hat.
Yep.
that kid's got needs a psych. They're going to need a serious psychiatrist in his future, and there aren't any.
No, there aren't.
They're all zombies.
Oh man.
So that's what I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying it for the most part.
I also.
So in normal weeks, we would also maybe talk about Being Human, because that's the other sci-fi kind of horror show. Not sci-fi. That's the other horror show going on at the moment. But I'm four episodes behind, so hopefully I'll catch up a bit over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm like one or two. I didn't catch any of Monday's, this past Monday's shows. I might be, actually, that might be the only one I'm missing. So, yeah, we can catch up.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that another week. On to some Stephen King news. So Stephen King posted on his message board about Dr. Sleep. So Dr. Sleep is the upcoming sequel to The Shining. It's going to take place some point in Danny Torrance's future. His message says that he will be reading the entire prologue at the end of the current Dark Tower books audio version. So the new Dark Tower book is The Wind Through the Keyhole, coming out in a month or so. And the audio version will have 25 pages of Dr. Sleep read by Stephen King at the end of the audio files.
Nice.
Yeah, and by the way, King is also reading Wind Through the Keyhole.
which is extremely nice.
Yeah.
Because I liked when he read the first three, two or three Dark Tower books.
Yeah, and then they were reread by Frank Muller at some point when they re-released the versions. I have the Stephen King versions around somewhere too.
Yeah,
I think I taped them off John.
You might have. I was about to say John's got them. I don't know if he's got to still have them somewhere. I'm gonna have to find them.
I know they're audio cassettes, so that's why.
Back in the day,
I dubbed all those tapes. I have them on digital. I have them digital files now, so I don't listen to the tapes anymore. But I have Frank Muller's version digital, not the cassette versions.
Right.
The second bit of Stephen King news we had is the Dark Tower movie, which we talked about on the other podcast. It was in the news before we started this show. The other podcast is called Not the Show. You can find that at NotTheShow.com. So there were talk about a Dark Tower movie with Ron Howard directing, and it was going to be three movies with TV series in between each movie. They started losing funding for it, so the project kind of went on hold, and we all figured it was dead in the water, you know?
Yeah, it was very sad.
Yeah, I was pissed. They even had people picked, some of the actors picked, Roland was going to be played by...
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, right, the guy from his most famous role, the one where he was shooting the bolts into people's heads, the cattle killing bolt gun.
I didn't see that, but he was No Country for Old Men.
That's right, that's the one. So he was going to be in it. So anyway, someone tweeted Ron Howard about the Dark Tower. The tweet was, "Please answer me, do you direct The Dark Tower? ? No comments on the grammar. Ron Howard replied, "I hope and plan to love it." So that's some possibly good news. Maybe we'll still see a Dark Tower movie by Ron Howard.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. So the last thing I want to talk about tonight is Carrie the Musical.
Plug it up. Plug it up. That was not a song.
It was not.
Not a song.
No. But I saw it. I went to, it was about middle of last week. And Jen and I bought tickets a while back. And we went to see the last show before it came out of preview. So Broadway shows go in previews for a whole month where they practice and they test things out and they make some minor changes, stuff like that. So we saw the last preview show before opening night. And we enjoyed the play a lot. It was good.
So it wasn't terrible.
No.
Not that we assumed that it was going to be terrible, but that was a definite fear. I mean, like a regular stage play of Carrie, you know, I could see that where that would easily work.
Sure, dramatic.
But the second you say musical, I mean, that makes it suspect.
It does. So the show is starring Molly Ranson as Carrie and Maren Mazzi as Margaret White. It's very minimal. There's not a lot of staging. There's simple. It's off Broadway, right? So the theater's on Christopher Street, right? So it's not even Midtown. It's in the Village. Right. Pretty good sized theater. So we show up and there's like a lot of people hovering outside, like waiting to get in, buying tickets and such. So Jen and I was stalling for some time. So we went over to a bar. A lot of men in this bar that we were in. A lot of men. Not too many women in this bar that we were in.
Now, did the men seem to mind this? Is this what we're saying here? The men didn't seem to mind.
They didn't care. You know, they didn't take Jen out and throw her in the street or anything. But there were definitely some men in this bar.
Get rid of the breeders.
So after we had our drink at the bar, we went to a head shop and the guy almost robbed me $10. But that's another whole story.
He almost robbed you? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about it.
He gave me the wrong change. And so after the show, I realized it during the show and we went back in. And he was nice enough to remember that he gave me the wrong change.
Okay, that's
cool. So, yeah, Manhattan and their head shops. So So we went to the play. So we had seats up in the mezzanine. That's like the upstairs, right? We were like the fourth row back in the upstairs, about 10 rows in the upstairs. Pretty centered. Now, the first thing we noticed was, again, a lot more men than women. Not like the bar. But there were definitely more men at a Broadway, at this show, than usually I would see at a musical.
Right.
Possibly because it's on Christopher Street. Possibly just because of the subject matter. Maybe it's more of a manny musical.
Right.
But then Jen is sitting next to me, and she's looking out in front of us, and she realizes that the mezzanine is not really slanted enough, and you can almost not see the stage at all. So once the play started, she's sitting all the way at the edge of her seat so she could sit up as straight as possible.
Right.
And even I, being as tall as I am, I didn't have to sit perched on the front of my seat, so I was taller. But I did have to constantly move my head to the right and to the left of the head in front of me as people moved across the stage, because there really wasn't enough slope or staggering of the seats. Like, and then when the seats are staggered, it's better too. So if like in front of me was like the arm of the seat in front of the next row, then right. You're kind of looking between two heads. But now they're doing the same thing as me, the people. So it's like a head shifting. If this was video, you'd see me. It's like I'm looking around and they're looking around, and so it's back and forth. So Jen thought that the theater could have used a little better viewing angles, I guess is the way to put it.
Okay.
Other than that, like the play. The music was good. There was some... they weren't crazy, campy, awful musical songs like you get in a lot of musicals. There was... I was going to play I have the clip. I don't think we played it on this show. I think we played it on the other show. But let me play the clip of play some of the music.
The truth is...
Hey, that's an ad.
She never...
I can mute the ad.
The truth is, she never plugged it up.
That was an ad for Evita starring Ricky Martin. By the way,
as Evita,
I don't
as
think
Evita
so.
Peron.
I don't think so. I didn't recognize any of the actresses, so I don't think it was anyone famous. Here's some of the play.
I bet that you'd be amazed at the sight. You'd see a heart that's fearless and true. From my point of view.
Human telling the story.
So that was the boyfriend that takes Carrie to the prom, singing to his girlfriend, whose idea it was for right. him to take Carrie to the prom.
Yeah, in the movie, that was The Greatest American Hero.
Yes, it was. And the bad guy was John Travolta.
Yes, it was.
The punk kid. He had reservations in the play about dumping the blood. The girlfriend was the one who persuaded him. I don't remember if that's how it was in the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So they modernized it a bit. The kids had cell phones and laptops, fake cell phones and fake laptops. Like I said, the sets and the props were very minimal. Here's a little more. So it was basically a big empty stage, and there was like a couple doors, and they used projectors and lights to do a lot of the to do a lot of fake, I don't want to call them fake, simulated effects, like when Carrie made the windows slam in her house.
Right.
They did that with projectors and images of windows slamming. And it was effective. It worked, actually. I liked all that stuff. I liked that it wasn't too crazy. Visual, crazy sets and explosions.
So it wasn't like a... what's the name of the Spider-Man musical? Enter the Dark, Fear the Dark.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, something. The people swinging from the sky.
Yeah,
no, none of that crazy overproduced stuff.
No, no, no. It was underproduced, if anything.
And sometimes underproduced is better.
It was good. So the final big prom scene when the blood and all that, there was actually no blood on stage. They made a projected a shadow of the bucket, and the bucket dumped. And then she was wearing like a very light colored dress. Carrie was, and they put like a bright red spotlight on her.
And they used like a number two red gel.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. These are things I hear.
Yeah. So there were a lot of sound effects, like lightning crashing sounds, and she was throwing her arms about, and people were the actors were throwing themselves down and screaming, when it was nearly done, the back wall kind of had pegs on it, and so the actors kind of all climbed up onto these pegs on the wall in these weird positions as they're simulating like their death, and it was like the whole back wall of the stage was the teenagers, the dying teenagers kind of pose. It was very cool, very well. I thought it was very well done. I liked it a lot.
Dying teenagers.
Yeah, and then she went home and her mom tried to kill her.
Right.
That was very good too. It was real kind of, there was real emotion in the end there. She was sad that she had to kill her mom, sort of in her own crazy way. It was good. I liked it.
All right, sweet.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of other reviews out now. Once it came out of previews, everyone else was allowed to release their reviews, I suppose. And so there's this site that does called StageGrade. That does compilations of reviews, kind of like Rotten Tomatoes. And the median grade with 22 reviews was a C+.
Wow.
Yeah. Some not so great reviews. The best review here is Rex Reed, who does movie reviews too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's generally a movie reviewer.
Yeah, he said that all his reservations are minor and do not detract from the overall enjoyment of this attempt to make the story of a misunderstood, miserable underdog in all of us a universal one. You could take your grandmother to Carrie. That's just a snippet. And there's some, lots of B's. And I thought that New Jersey Newsroom, he had a good review. He said, interesting to note that the current debate on bullying among teens makes Carrie's story more compelling. They did do that in the story. They did talk a bit about modern time bullying and how Carrie was bullied, and that's what started all this.
Right.
The score was revised considerably. While the pop sound remains very 80s and catchy in the team's characteristic fame mode, the more theatrical music soars to the melodramatic demands of the plot, especially in the urgent songs for Carrie's twisted Mama Margaret. She was very good in The Mother.
Did you talk about the dirty pillows?
No mention of dirty pillows, but there was, they did throw tampons.
Huh?
They did throw tampons, but no dirty pillows.
No dirty, because I love when she would talk about the dirty pillows.
Yeah. So the worst review I found was Jeremy Gerard from Bloomberg News. Scaling Carrie back has the unfortunate effect of demonstrating the key thing about Carrie that all the trappings may have hidden. It was a lousy score in 1988 and still a lousy score. The melodies, even the new ones, are outdated. Generic pop, the lyrics banal if somewhat more attuned to teen obsessions with not standing out and fitting into prom dresses. It's not great, huh?
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. Mark Kennedy from the Associated Press. The results may be better, but it's nowhere near good. Some lovely music is marred by a patronizing, out-of-touch book and overwrought tone and characters that seem as light and insubstantial as an after-school TV special. Wow.
So, a lot of people really kind of didn't care for it.
It got definitely mixed reviews. There's 10 C's, 5 B's, 1 A, 4 D's, 2 F's, some A pluses and B pluses. It was really 50, it seemed almost 50-50, although a lot of them are right down the middle.
Bastards.
Yeah, well, not everybody can like it. It's definitely something out of the range of a lot of Broadway stuff in general, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, we enjoyed it though, so that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
We paid our $55 and it was okay. And that's all we have this week.
Carrie the Musical.
Carrie the Musical. That was our big story for the week. So I'm hoping that before our next show, I'll have my copies of Win Through the Keyhole, and I'll may have even read it by then. I did order the limited editions, which means I'll get them before it comes out in regular hardcover.
So right.
I'll have it before publication date, hopefully. I know they said they're shipping this week, so I think I'll get it soon. And maybe we'll talk about One Through the Keyhole next week.
Sounds good.
All right, so we are Discordia 19, Stephen King podcast and blog. www.discordia19.com is where you can find everything. And you can follow me on Twitter at Discordia Joe, or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Discordia19.
And leave a review.
Yeah,
on iTunes.
Definitely. Subscribe on iTunes, leave a review or two. Listen to the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. All that would be wonderful. So everyone have a good week, and we will see you soon, Constant Readers.
Wolves cry out. Listen close, then you can hear me.